If you recall back, what was the very first thing that God created? He says it right there. And let there be light. You got it right, Shane. Let there be light. That was the first thing. Let there be light. How many of you here have ever just been tired? Like, you know what I mean? You've been tired. I don't mean like after a long day of work, you know, where you just, okay, I'm coming home. Got to take off my boots, you know, let my feet just, oh, I feel so good. At the end of a hard day, you want to prop them up, maybe go, you know, take that shower, and then, oh. There have been those days where, you know, we work so hard, come home, and, you know, I'm just going to sit for a minute. And the next thing you know, you wake up and it's 9 o'clock and you're still in your uniform from work. And, oh man, I haven't even had dinner or anything. I'll take a shower in the morning. Just stay sleeping right here. I'm not talking about that kind of tired. I'm not talking about the kind of tired that we have after we come home from a nice vacation. You know, we get away on a vacation, which someone's going to have to explain to me what that is. I just heard there was a rumor of you could go on a vacation. But, you know, you come back and you're supposed to be, you know, rejuvenated and had that, the R&R, that was me this time. Bad cable. I guess we need to pay the cable bill. But that kind of tired, you know, where you just want to come home and not go back, you know, you go back to work and it's like, okay, I get more relaxation at work than I did on vacation. I'm talking about the kind of tired that's, you know, the capital T-I-R-E-D kind of tired. The tired that you want to just give up. You want to throw in the towel. You know, you've reached the end of your rope and you just say, I want to let go. You want to just run away. You want to go someplace, hide under a rock and just die kind of tired. Have you been there? Yeah. I think at some point, you know, if you haven't been there, you're a miracle. You're a walking, talking, living, breathing miracle. If you've never been to that place where you've been so tired, you just want to give up. You just want to, that's it, I'm done. Lord, take me. Lord, let me get hit by a bus, you know. Lord, just, you know, do something to put me out of this misery that I'm in. You know, the debt is so big. The disease is too great. The problem that I'm having in my marriage or my relationships is too hard. The stuff that I'm having with my between me and my boss, my employer, I just can't take it anymore. I'm just tired of this. That's the kind of tired. You know, the day in, the day out kind of grind. And for us here in this country, it's that FWP. You know, so many of the things that we get tired of or tired from are first world problems. You know, we don't have to put up with, you know, that sweatshop idea. Or I saw a news program this morning, and it was just one of those little stories that they did on headline news. And it talked about this little girl that was sold and before she was 14 and had to be married to someone at the age of 14. Her mom had to sell her to get out of debt. That we don't have to put up with that kind of stuff here generally. But there's still things that happen, like in Ohio, where the three girls were locked up for 10 years. You know, that trial is I think it's getting ready to start, or they're putting things together right now. He's been indicted and charged. They're charged and indicted, however that goes, I'm not sure. So maybe we felt like we wanted to give up, and we have to take a moment and look and see, well, what got us here in the first place? What got us to become so tired? What was it? What were the events? What were the circumstances? What were those things? Were we doing that? You know, here's the cliche. Were we burning the candle at both ends? You know, how many of us have done that before? You know, maybe not as we've gotten older, but you know, way, as they say, back in the day, even before Tammy and I met, and then even afterwards, you know, playing in a rock band and you know, staying up until 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning playing in a club, and then having my uniform for work for the print shop, having that in the car, you know, you load out the instruments, you put it all in the car, and then you go straight to work and you do an 8 hour shift. And then maybe, you know, you grab a couple of hours of sleep here or there, then you show up at the band house and do some practicing, you know, write songs and play and do that whole kind of thing. I can't do that anymore. You know, burning the candle at both ends doesn't work. You know, the wick is only so big to where you know what, I need to take time. And we need to get rest. We need to be rejuvenated. We have to go through that stuff. This is stuff we have all heard before. You know, the time management kind of thing. How about this? You know, being like a firecracker where it just burns, the fuse is so long, boom, it's done, it's gone. One of those cliches, one of those terms, the flash in the pan. Have we heard that one before? You know, oh, they're just a flash in the pan. You know, they burn bright for a second and then they're gone. And that comes from early firearms. You know, way back when they used the muskets, the flintlock rifle, where they would put, you know, gunpowder inside the barrel and, you know, pack it down with the, you know, with the round and the wadding and all that, pack it down, and they put some gunpowder in this little pan, and then you've got the flint, you pull back. When you pull the trigger, the flint hits the steel, and boom, and there's that flash. If you've been to Colonial Williamsburg and you've seen them out there, you know, the red coats and that, and doing the demonstration, you'll see that flash. And that's the flash in the pan. It's just gone like that. Martha, we've heard the story about Mary and Martha. Martha is like the go-to character for a person who's burning the candle at both ends, who's going and going and doing and doing. And a lot of people give her a bad rap because that story talks about where Jesus says, Martha, you're worried about a lot of stuff. You're doing a lot of things. But your sister Mary has chosen the better, because I'm just here for a little bit of time. You know, come here and sit at my feet. Now, Martha was using her gifts, right? She was doing, gift of serving, probably hospitality, you know, concerned about others, wanting to use that gift that she had. But she wasn't taking time out for herself. And she got to the point where she was so frustrated at other people that rather than taking time for herself and to spend time with Jesus at his feet, she began to take it out on others. You know, well, they're doing that. Look at what I'm doing. I do this, I do this. I'm involved here. Look at what they're not doing. Well, if we get that kind of attitude, that's not a good place to be. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, remember back Genesis? What is it? Genesis 1, 3, God said, let there be light. Well, now here in John 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. When there's light, light casts out all darkness. Jesus continues in Matthew. He tells his disciples, you are the light of the world. That's a pretty big deal to me. You know, we think of lights, you know, traffic lights, lights in the sky, you know, the sun, the moon, the stars, all these great lights in the heavens. And they burn for an awful long time. You know, who really knows how long the sun's been burning? Who really knows how long the stars have been burning and shining bright? Who knows how long the moon's been up there reflecting light from the sun to give us a little bit of light at night, you know, just like we sang this morning. In Jesus' day, he talked about an oil lamp, and he said, let your light so shine. Don't hide your lamp under a basket, which would probably be a dangerous thing, right? Because I'm thinking an oil lamp back in those days, and however it was burning, you take that basket and you put it on top of there, I don't know if there was a fire brigade or anything, but I just picture something really bad happening. But he said, don't hide your light. And I think sometimes in our society now, in this culture here in America, maybe we've been lulled to sleep, or we've been ashamed, or we've been put in this place where we want to hide what we have. We've maybe hidden our light because, well, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't, you know, we don't want to seem insensitive. It's like the young man this past week who was the valedictorian at his high school, and he was, you know, he had to turn in his speech to, you know, and then they did the whole censorship thing on him and said, this is what's approved. Here's what you can do. You know, the ACLU has been coming down on public schools. But this young man went up there and he had his speech that was approved by the school. He went up there and he tore it up in front of them and began to say the Lord's Prayer. And a lot of his classmates who were graduating with him began to join in. And it was to the point where he couldn't even hear himself speaking. You can look this up. It's, you know, it's on the old YouTuber, and see this. I believe it was this weekend or just this past week during a graduation ceremony. And the reason why the school didn't want him to do these things, to mention God or recite scripture and just be who he is because they didn't want someone up there to come across as being insensitive to other people. You know, the Bible says don't be easily offended. And, you know, maybe we've become so cautious because we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to cause any ripples or any rifts at work or in our neighborhood or anything like that. We're really careful. Well, if you know me, I'm like that proverbial bull in a china shop, where I say what I'm thinking and don't always use that filter. I've been learning how to, you know, that's been wired, and we're trying to get it figured out. But there's a time maybe to be offensive, to remember that Jesus Christ is the rock of offense, right? He's the place where we take our offenses, and he's also offensive to other people. He's offensive in that when we see him, when we look to him, we see our dirty rags. We see that we're not righteous. We see he called us the light of the world. I don't feel like light. You know, I don't feel that bright, like I'm shining, like I'm some kind of a something special. And maybe we all go through that at times. Now, this is the big deal for me. This is something that's been on my heart for a long, long time, and I shared it with a Sunday school group many, many years ago with a group of 8 and 9 year olds. And before Don even asked me to speak this Sunday and the next couple Sundays that he's going to be gone this summer, I was awakened, you know, and I've talked about this before, where I have, you know, that moment between sleeping and waking where, I don't know if you guys have those dreams or those visions where it's like, what was that about? Well, I saw this bright light, and it got so bright, and then it just burned out. And it was like you've seen in the movies, especially in baseball movies, you know, the guy's up there at the plate, and he hits the home run, and it goes up into the stadium lights, and it hits one of those big, giant halogen lamps, and there's like this massive, bright light, and then all the sparks come flying down. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen those things? And it was kind of like that. It was just really bright. Almost like looking at a, you know, you're not supposed to look when a welder's doing his job. It was kind of like just, and I woke up, and I'm like, what is this about? And the Lord's saying, don't be like that. Don't be the flash in the pan. Don't be like that bright light that burns out. You see, we've all been given a certain number of days. The Bible tells us our days have been numbered. And we don't have to fear of burning out. Have we ever felt burned out like that? Like we're just, that's it. We're, like I said earlier, you want to throw in the towel, you want to go hide under the rock and die. You know, what is it? Nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I think I'll go out and eat worms. You know, that kind of thing where it's like, I quit, I give up. I don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ ever intended for us to get to a place where we're burned out. Nowhere does it say anything about that. And you will be burned out. You know, the Apostle Paul said, do not grow weary in doing good. Now, Paul talked about, you know, there were times when he said, you know, they despaired of even life itself. We're only human. You know, even Jesus, it said that he went away to a lonely place to pray. And there was that one time after he'd done so many miracles, he was like, I'm beat. I got to get away. And he wanted to get away from the crowds and just left. That was when they got in the boat and went across. You know, and here's a little side story, a little rabbit trail. At that point in time, Jesus told his disciples, come on, let's get in the boat. Let's go to the other side. They all piled in the boat and they started to go across the sea. And as they're making their way across, what happens? Big storm. Big storm comes up. Jesus is asleep in the bow of the boat. He just crawled up. You know, I picture him kind of like in the fetal position, maybe with a little bit of drool coming down, you know. You know, just as happy as a clam, just, you know, probably having dreams of whatever he dreams about, you know. Unicorns and rainbows or something. I don't know. He's calm. He's relaxed. He is so comfortable that he can sleep in the midst of a storm. But what about his disciples? They start freaking out. You know, I don't know how big this boat is. I don't know if they could get up and run around or if they're like, you know, holding on to whatever's there, you know, trying to find out, okay, what can I use to float if this thing breaks up? And they went up and they woke Jesus up and they said, Master, we're all going to die. There's this storm is going on. And Jesus, you know, I just picture him like this, you know, going, huh? You know, again, wiping that drool out of his beard and just, what? What are you talking about? Master, look, there's this storm. We're all going to die. And what does Jesus say? He said, oh, you guys, you don't have any faith at all. And the lesson is, what did Jesus say before they even got in the boat? He said, let's go to the other side. He didn't say, let's go die in the middle of the sea. He didn't say, let's go so we can, you know, experience this storm and some of you are going to drown and the boat's going to go apart and some of you are going to survive and it's going to be this great story. No, he said, let's go to the other side. And so many times, maybe, you know, we've been told what our gifts are. We've taken the test or we've gone through prayer or someone has come and affirmed, this is what your gift is. This is your talent. This is how you shine. And yet we just keep on hiding it. We just keep on putting it back. You know, put it on the back burner, you know. Just put it away, you know, hide it. But if we hide it, what happens? You know, we risk having it taken away. Now, each one of us in this room is unique. Every person that we know is unique. Even identical twins, identical triplets. Yeah, there's a lot of things that they can, you know, have that kind of, I don't know if it's a sixth sense or whatever, the studies that have been done on their brains and those that have been separated at birth and, you know, who they marry and, you know what I mean? We've all probably seen that kind of stuff on Science Channel or, you know, we read about it. But each one of us is unique. We're all different. No one of us in here is like, we've got some similarities. You know, there may be some of us here that have the same blood type. Some of us may have the same color eyes, hair. Well, maybe we had the same color hair at one time and we decided to go on a diet. You know, just saying. So, but there are so many different kinds of lights. You know, there's black lights and there's blue lights and there's white lights, and there's little tiny lights for appliances, and there's big globe lights for your bathroom, and you know, there's smaller lights, and you know, there's Christmas lights, and they're all different colors, and they, you know, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. We have to go through them every year and find out which ones worked and which ones didn't, and generally we don't check them. Well, sometimes we do before we hang them up. See, like that one. Who knows why it doesn't work now. So, Tammy, if you wouldn't mind, come up here and go through each one of these lamps and just see which one is the culprit. But we've got lights here in the building. You know, these. We used to have track lightings up here. The tracks are still there. Then Pastor Don found this. I love these lights here. Then we've got lights up here. And then on the back, there's lights over here on for the fire alarm. You know, when that thing makes its ear-piercing, you know, it's like 4 million decibels, and it just pierces your ears, and you just, you know, you're, and then the lights are flashing, you know, it's that strobe effect. Then we have the emergency lights above the door that come on, you know, those are throughout the building. Then we have the exit lights. There's all sorts of lights, and each one serves a different purpose. Some of them we only pull out once a year for a few weeks. Some of them we only pull out for 8 days, like in the case of Hanukkah. You know, they pull out the menorah, and they use the candles. Or for the really modern Jews, they will use electric lights and push a little button, and then the first one and the second one, and you know, on to the eight or ocho, as our madre would say. There's so many different kinds of lights, and we're unique. None of us burns to the same degree. None of us burn in the same way. I put together some pictures, and I don't know if Amelia had done the slideshow, and it's just real simple stuff. You know, different kinds of lights, and you know, different. Those even look like little people to me. You know? They do. They look like little people. And some of those colors have to do with our gift mix. You know, the different colors. You know, what is it? The green, the red, the blue, the yellow, all that kind of, all that stuff. The life and the teaching and the prophetic and the helps and all that. You can just make it just slide through. Just make it do a little slideshow kind of thing. And as you and I burn to the degree that we've been made to burn, you know, there's little 4-watt lamps, there's 12-watt, you know, there's 75 watts, there's 500, there's 1,000 watts, you know, like the lights in the stadium that I talked about earlier, those big halogen lamps that shine down. If you watch NASCAR and they light up the whole track, you know, floodlights, headlights, different kinds of lights for a different purpose. We're members of the body of Christ, and we all have a different purpose. And each one of these light bulbs, the ones up here and the ones that are showing here, they all have an expected light, you know, they all have a life expectancy. They're all going to burn out at some time. Think about the Centennial Light. How many of you guys know about the Centennial Light in Livermore, California? That thing has been burning for 112 years. One light bulb, blown glass. It's got the carbon filament in there, and just a little twisty bulb that was made in 1901. And it is still burning to this day. Still burning. For 112 years. So what do we have? You know, some people may only have 6 years to live. Some may have 60, 66, 106. We've all been given a number of years that we're supposed to burn. And burn as bright as the Lord has called us to burn. And to burn when he's called us to do that. Not to hide it, but just to keep on letting our light shine. And, you know, the different kinds of gases, well, that wasn't a good thing, but, you know, the different kinds of gases that are involved in making these lights, or in the case of lasers, you know, the gases or the early ones, you know, the red rubies that were used to make these laser lights. Different purposes. And where does this take us? To burn brightly. And the one thing that Paul told his followers and when he wrote to the Galatians, remember, he said, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary. Don't become so tired that you burn out. And, you know, I've been there. We've all been there. As a matter of fact, I'm there right now. You know? Those things, you know, we burn out when the stuff happens. We burn out, and please forgive me for this vulgar display, but we burn out sometimes because the poo has hit the fan in our life, right? That's why I have that up there. One of the Tatum boys brought in a bunch of stuffed animals. We had a yard sale here at the church, and he had a bunch of stuff, and I was like, oh, I love that. I'm buying it. And, you know, there's somebody in the back that wears a Winnie the Pooh shirt once in a while, and I'm always like, ew, you got poo on your shirt. So, but that's the poo hitting the fan. And it just seems like, you know, when the bearing goes out on your crankshaft, when you're coming home from work on a Thursday night, and you have to call a tow truck because your engine's shot, you know, or your brakes go out. Or you need help taking care of your mom. Or you get a phone call that your dad has to go into the hospital, or so many things that we face every single day. And so many things that have happened, I know for each one of us here, the people that are a part of the body, the ones that I know a little bit more intimately, stuff has just been happening. It's been like a flood of just this storm of crap just flying around, just hitting us again and again and again. When will it end? Well, don't grow weary in doing good. Jesus said there will be trials and tribulations. Yeah, but I don't want these. Oh, well. You know, life is fair. Life is fair. Because good and evil falls on everybody. We all have to go through this stuff, and some to a greater degree than others. You know, if we were born in Africa, or if we were born in Eastern Europe, or somewhere in Asia, or somewhere in South America, who knows what kind of trials and tribulations we would have to go through on a daily basis. Some of our problems here are just first world problems. You know, an engine blowing up. When you look on balance, that's just a first world problem. You can get a new engine. You can rebuild an engine. You can fix brakes. You can buy a new car. You can walk or ride a bike or carpool or whatever. What is your shape? What is the shape of the light bulb that you have? What does it look like? What's the purpose? What's the plan that the Lord has for you? He made you for a plan and a purpose. Each one of us here. And He made us to burn bright, even in the midst of what we may be going through. Think about people like Anne Frank. Anne Frank. Think about people like Corrie ten Boom. Think about people like Johnny Erickson Tada. You know, injured as a teenager in a diving accident, a quadriplegic, but she does poetry, she paints, she's had a radio program, she's done television, well, you know, Christian television programs and that sort of thing, done teaching. There have been so many people who have had to endure a lot worse than any of us have. And so, you know, some of you here have endured a lot worse than I'll ever know. Things that you've gone through, things that you've experienced. But I see so many of you that burn still, even though maybe not as bright as you were before, maybe not as bright as you will be later on. But we need to be a little bit more, I guess, like Mary, using our gifts like Martha was, but be a little bit more like Mary and making sure that we're plugged in. You know, and in the case of these Christmas lights, if one burns out, remember those? You know, now we've got them to where they're set up in parallel rather than in series. So if one burns out, they all continue to burn. Well, that's what happens within the church. When one of our lights burns out, we still continue to burn. When Tom Moody went home, his light was like that light in the baseball field that just went, and then guess what? And I just picture this. Beings of light are we. Like, well, that's from a film. But, you know, it's not just this dust, this flesh. We're creatures of light. Jesus said we're the light of the world. So, if this speaks to you in any way, you know, great. If it doesn't, like I always say, you know, just set it aside for a little while and maybe it'll speak to you later on. Father, we thank you that you have called each one of us here as your disciples, as your followers, to be the light of the world, to be lights, to burn brightly for you, not to hide because we've grown weary in doing good, or because we're afraid of being insensitive, or we are ashamed of you in any way, you know, or maybe there's some rules at work or at school, different places. But help us to always burn bright, to use the gifts and the talents that you've given to us, whatever they might be, however great or insignificant we may think they are, Lord. You've given so many things to each one of us to use, to be used by you. Whatever the shape of our gift or talent is, whatever the color of it might be, we're here to burn bright for you. And when a brother like Tom, whose light burned so brightly in so many areas of this world, a man who in his 70s went to France and hauled concrete, had a hard time getting around, but went up and down those rocky, craggy pathways to take wheelbarrows of concrete, to help move some stone, to help work with these guys who were so much younger than he. And then recently when you took him home, his light didn't burn out. We may not see it here, but he joined you, became one with you in the light. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would become our strength, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength, that we would continually be plugged into you and draw our energy from you, not try to do these things in and of ourselves, because your word declares, unless the Lord builds the house, the workers labor in vain. So help us to draw our strength, our power from you. Help us to burn bright. Help us to be like that valedictorian who gave up his own agenda and who set aside the things that his school approved for him to say and followed his heart, followed his dream, followed his own passion. Help us not to follow the agenda of man and maybe even the agendas that we've set up for ourselves. Help us to be open for your plan, for your leading, for your calling. There may be other places that you want us to burn bright for you. Help us to be open, to be willing to burn brightly for you whenever you give us that chance. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Ask that you would go with us as we go about our week. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you all. Have a great day today. They said it. There's a possibility of rain, but don't change your plans. You know, go out there and just enjoy this day. Yeah. God bless you all.